Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Kelly Duke, and I'm an attorney for One Creative Place and Jetaway Aviation, LLC. My attorney registration number is 35168. Thank you for your time this morning and hearing our oral argument. It is very much appreciated by Jetaway. Today, I'm prepared to address the issues on appeal before this court. First, the district court erred in its application of this court's prior ruling concerning maintenance. Second, I am prepared to address the district court's error when it allowed the county to present evidence on material issues that Jetaway was precluded from rebutting. The court relied on that county evidence in ruling against Jetaway on the issue of the access permit. And finally, the district court erred in admitting evidence that violates the best evidence rule and is inadmissible hearsay. I'd like to start with the issue of maintenance, Your Honors. This court ordered the trial court on remand to make findings of fact about whether or not STW provided or performed or offered maintenance. If you'll remember, Your Honors, STW was Jetaway's predecessor in interest. The Court of Appeals language was very clear. If STW provided or offered maintenance, then Jetaway could provide maintenance. This court neither limited the type or circumstances in which maintenance could be performed. The trial court expressly found in its order, based on the evidence presented, that STW provided maintenance. However, then the district court ruled that Jetaway could not perform maintenance in direct contravention to this court's instructions. That is reversible error, Your Honors. There is significant evidence on the record in the form of testimony from STW's former president, Mr. Steve Savoy, that STW designed, manufactured, and maintained aircraft at that facility. The trial court cited that fact in its findings and in its order.
Ms. Duke, let me ask you a question. I appreciate your saying that the language from the prior Court of Appeals opinion was very clear since I wrote the opinion. However, apparently the parties are not in agreement about that point, and there, of course, your opponents say that the scope of the remand was different from what you're suggesting, and that it's limited to what STW was actually doing. Could you respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd be happy to. Even if we don't agree on the scope, I think the evidence still ends in the same result. Even if we accept the county's argument that Jetaway was only allowed to provide what they are coining it as commercial maintenance, Jetaway has proven that it provided commercial maintenance. Mr. Steve Savoy testified that they maintained aircraft owned by third parties, that they offered those services to manufacturers such as Cessna, Boeing, Raytheon. There's also evidence that STW employed two full-time mechanics on site. So even if we disagree about the scope, which I think that the plain language is clear, Your Honor, your language said if we provided and or offered maintenance services, then Jetaway could in fact do that. Or if STD did those things, then Jetaway could do those things. The district court also recognized that in the transcript of the trial that you've read. The district court said, well, if STW could do it, Jetaway could do it. And Jetaway did provide that evidence that it in fact did provide maintenance, not only self-maintenance, which I think the parties are in agreement that Jetaway can provide, but that it also provided maintenance to third parties and to employees of STW, which would not be employee or STW-owned aircrafts. Those would be third-party aircrafts, frankly. And somehow the court imported this limitation of advertising. Well, I think that's unfair, Your Honors, to assume that Jetaway should have provided research about evidence and research about providing advertising. That was never part of this court's directive.
Be relevant. The evidence would be relevant on whether the STW provided maintenance more broadly to other people's aircraft.
Yes, Your Honor, and it is relevant, and that's why the evidence shows that STW did provide maintenance to other people's aircraft.
But the advertising would be relevant on that point.
Your Honor, no, I don't think it would be relevant. First of all, the court never directed such an inquiry. So I don't think that that would be relevant. The court directed the trial court to make an inquiry as to whether or not STW performed maintenance. If we broaden that scope to providing maintenance to other aircrafts other than self-maintenance, which I think it's fair to do, then in fact advertising really isn't relevant. It's really only relevant to the fact of whether or not we provided maintenance to what we believe are third-party owned aircrafts.
Well, let me follow up on Judge Russell's question. If I remember correctly, the prior opinion used the phrase that whether or not STW provided or offered maintenance. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And well, isn't a determination of offering maintenance whether advertising was done?
Yes, I think that could be one determination, but it specifically is not the only determination. And regardless, we provided evidence that they did offer maintenance to companies such as Cessna, Raytheon, Boeing. And the reality is, Your Honors, the company that was in place, STW, was only there for a short amount of time. And so and they were busy doing, you know, manufacturing aircraft, maintaining aircraft. Frankly, they didn't have to do advertising. Montrose is a very small town. Everybody knows the facility that was there. They're in the middle of an air park. They own one third of that 30-acre air park. And so advertising in a town like Montrose really isn't necessary. People know what STW was doing at the time. And frankly, they knew that they were doing maintenance on aircrafts, as testified by Blake Friedland, one of the county's witnesses. I mean, he is a mechanic, and he testified, yeah, he knew that they had two full-time mechanics on staff.
So as I understand this issue, it's, excuse me, smoke is in my lungs this morning. It is utterly clear that STW did, and Jetaway may, provide maintenance on its own aircraft. So far, so good?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. The question then is, to what extent did STW provide maintenance on other people's aircraft or other entities' aircraft? Have I gotten the issue so far?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So why, and the trial court essentially found that STW did not provide maintenance on other people's aircraft?
No, Your Honor, I actually disagree with that.
Okay.
It was part of their ruling and find the trial court specifically on page 4 of its order found that STW did provide maintenance to third-party aircrafts. It did specifically find that.
Okay, so you're just saying that the court's ultimate conclusion is utterly in conflict with its factual finding.
Yes, Your Honor, it's inconsistent. The court's findings were that STW did provide maintenance to third-party aircrafts and on aircrafts that it did not own. So it went that far. But then its ultimate conclusion was inconsistent with those findings.
Excuse me, if I can stop things for just a second. I'd like to ask the bailiff a question. We don't have the lights on here or the timer on. Is the timer working?
Yeah.
And do you have any idea why the lights aren't on up here? Yeah, Ms. Duke, can you see it?
No, Your Honor, I can't. I was trying to watch.
It'll be a brief interlude here while we sort this out.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You can call her. I don't know.
If the timer's working, then we could just operate off the timer.
Is your timer working? So can you tell us how much time is left? 6:49 left? Okay.
And Ms. Duke, would it be okay if we just give you the high sign at 5 minutes as the yellow light?
Right. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honors. So if you could just let me know when the 5 minutes.
Okay. And could you let us know when there are 5 minutes left? So then I can give Ms. Duke the high sign and we appreciate your patience and
it's a little frontier.
So we'll just try and do the best we can under the circumstances, and of course for the county commissioners, council will try and work with you similarly. So okay, you may continue. I apologize for the interruption, but I didn't want you to be prejudiced by wondering how much time you actually had used.
Thank you, Your Honor. I was doing the best I could with my watch. I'm finally on the issue of maintenance. I want to point out that the court ruled in its order at the end that because Jetaway's right to access to the airport was revoked, the issue of maintenance is a moot point. Jetaway strongly disagrees with that. The issue concerning maintenance affects Jetaway and its successors in interest. What the trial court has effectively done is take away a real property entitlement. So when although Jetaway may not have access to the airport right now, at some point in time, one of Jetaway's successors in interest may, in fact, obtain access. This could be somebody that purchased the property down the road. For that reason, Your Honors, we have to request reversal of this ruling. We believe that the trial court erred in not properly following this court's instructions on how to handle the issue of maintenance. The second issue I want to get to before my time expires is the fact that the district court based its findings on the March 2011 order regarding the county's request for an access permit, on the basis of essentially an ex parte TRO. There was a TRO in 2009 that was issued, and Jetaway did not have the opportunity to be a part of that TRO for various reasons, including the fact that my client lives out of state. And we did not present any evidence at that trial. And for that reason, the trial court promised and made certain assurances to Jetaway that we would be allowed to litigate those issues during the 2011 trial.
Wasn't it given an opportunity to litigate later more fully?
No, Your Honor, it was not. In fact, the trial court consistently did not allow Jetaway to litigate the issues that it ultimately ended up relying on in its order that it issued in 2011.
Oh. You have 5 minutes left.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'll start with the maintenance issue.
If I can back you up.
Introduce myself.
Yes, please.
My apologies. Brian Magoon, Special Counsel to the Board of County Commissioners, Montrose County.
Mr. Magoon, before you begin your argument, because our lighting system isn't working, I just want to clarify with you how we can be of assistance to you in terms of letting you know how much time you have left.
Well, in case there's any points that I want to make, if the court could just similarly advise me when there's about 5 minutes, I'll know.
Okay, we will do that. Okay, very well, we'll do that.
At the table with me, Your Honors, is Robert Hill, the Montrose County Attorney.
Mr. Hill.
And I'll start with the remand. The maintenance issue, since that's what Jetaway started with, and then I'll move on to the access. We do disagree with Jetaway's position on the maintenance issue. In 08 CA 2341, the county's position is the court determined under 3G1 of the off-airport agreement that the trial court had made an error saying that Jetaway could do maintenance and agreed with the county's position at that time that the Jetaway could do maintenance on its own aircraft, just like the main agreement. The Court of Appeals then focused on Exhibit A, which pertains to aircraft manufacturing and assembly, and said that arguably, if STW could do something in this area of maintenance, then Jetaway could do that in that area. Well, the evidence, of course, did differ on what exactly STW did do. The county had a witness, Blake Freeland, who said that, well, I never saw Jetaway perform maintenance. He and his company had been hired to perform maintenance. But the trial court did find that on at least one occasion, STW did do maintenance, and that's on page 4 that Jed Way referred to, that they did do maintenance on one aircraft that it manufactured and was owned by another party, but that it never offered, it never advertised maintenance. At the same time, the court did not find that Jetaway ever, STW ever performed maintenance for the general public, for anybody else. It was restricted, which would be consistent with Exhibit A to the off-airport agreement, to one aircraft that it manufactured.
Mr. Magoon, how does that square with what Ms. Duke just said, that Jetaway was offering its services to Cessna and Boeing and other companies?
Well, I believe that there may have been some testimony by Mr. Savoy, the financial officer, on that aspect. But I think it really comes down on maintenance. The legal issue, if I can digress for just a second, then answer the question specifically. The legal issue was whether the court followed the remand. That was the issue that was raised by Jetaway on appeal. And we would say the evidence supports that the court did what the Court of Appeals told it to do on remand. It reviewed, took testimony, and made factual findings. And now, having done so, we say that the real measure at this point, having complied with the remand, are the judge's findings supported by the evidence? Because there's discretion given to the court's findings of fact. And the county submits, Your Honors, that the judge's findings are supported by the record, that he didn't accept everything that one person said, particularly when there was conflicting evidence as to what Jetaway did. We'd respectfully request that the trial court's ruling on maintenance be affirmed.
Counsel, would you address this argument that I believe is being asserted here, that the court's finding that STW did maintenance on at least one aircraft owned by somebody else is inconsistent with the court's ultimate ruling that STW did no maintenance other than on its own aircraft?
I guess I could take a look at that, but I didn't think that the judge's ruling was inconsistent.
Okay, I mean,
the judge's ruling was that STW did not provide aircraft maintenance to the general public. The reason the trial court came to that point is that was what Jetaway was saying it could do, is to offer maintenance to the general public. That's what they were requesting at the trial court level.
And are you saying that the court's finding that STW did maintenance on one aircraft that STW manufactured is wholly consistent with that ruling?
It is consistent with that ruling. If Jetaway said that we want to manufacture and assemble aircraft, then the county would say, and as part of that, we're going to do some maintenance function associated with manufacturing aircraft, assembling it, and certifying it in accordance with FAA standards, which is what STW did. That was their function. Then we would say, okay, that's covered under the off-airport agreement. What Jetaway is trying to do is say, oh, well, we can just open up a maintenance shop. Well, that's not what STW did, and the testimony of Mr. Freeland made that very clear. And at some point when the plane was complete, they just moved it out of that hangar and moved it to an entirely different building where Mr. Freeland was doing maintenance at that other building. Okay, so that's why I would say it's not inconsistent. It's consistent with the off-airport agreement. All right. The next issue, Your Honors, is the access permit. Jetaway was seeking at the trial court level to compel the county to issue it an access permit under its terms and conditions. And the county was offering Jetaway an access permit consistent with federal grant assurances, which are incorporated in federal statute for some part also. So the parties did not agree. They did not agree on the amount. At the same time that's going on, the county is telling Jetaway, you are violating the court's order of June 30th, 2008. You're violating federal regulations. You're violating airport rules and regulations. And Jetaway did not stop. So at the time that Jetaway originally filed its motion to compel access, the county filed a motion to enforce the judgment of June 30th, 2008. And I won't kind of rehash everything, but there was a temporary restraining order. It was set a couple days before the hearing was held. And Jetaway did not provide witnesses, but was represented by two counsel cross-examined. And as noted both by the trial court in its findings of fact, conclusions of law of July 6, 2011, and by the Court of Appeals in 08 CA 2709, the court had noted that if, you know, with the county's appeal, if Jetaway wanted to seek remand, there'd be a hearing. Well, both courts had noted Jetaway never asked for remand for the entire time. Okay? So there was no subsequent hearing. Well, during this process, and after the TRO and Jetaway continuing to violate, just as if the TRO didn't exist, the June 30th, 2008 order didn't exist, the county had a public hearing, notified Jetaway. Jetaway sent a letter from counsel, did not appear or offer any evidence at the public hearing. The trial court notes that, you know, technically under the OAA, the county wasn't required to do that, but the county did, nevertheless, and revoked the access.
Excuse me, Mr. McGinn, I just want to let you know you have 5 minutes left.
Okay, and I'll try and hurry this last one along, Your Honor.
Okay.
So, and get a little more to the point here of the law that was argued by Jetaway. But the bottom line is that when the county at that point had revoked access in the spring of 2010, following the remand in 2341 and the decision in 2709, Jetaway tampered with a security fence installed pursuant to TSA regulations. At that point, the county put up Jersey barriers in front of Jetaway's hangar door, and therefore nobody could access in or out of that hangar on to the airport. The county did not need, having revoked access at that point, did not need a TRO or a preliminary injunction, didn't need a permanent injunction hearing. The issue before the court, since it was coming back on remand, was Jetaway's motion to compel access and the county's decision to revoke pursuant to the OAA and the actions of the commissioners after four hearings on the matter. Well, three public meetings. But anyway, the issues raised by Jetaway is saying, well, you know, it erred on issue by applying issue preclusion. Well, as addressed in the brief, it's not issue preclusion that's here, it's law of the case. All the judge did, and he did it at the November 14, 2008 TRO hearing, all he did was restrict the evidence to post June 30th, 2008, following the decision that had already been on appeal, and All he really shut down of Jetaways was an expert witness testifying about an ALP which is addressed in the June 30th, 2008 judgment of the trial court, which went on appeal and no issue was raised. And so basically, I mean, you know, to us, this is just a matter of the judge determined that A, his June 30th, 2008 judgment did not prevent the county from maintaining the safety of the airport and properly revoking under the OAA, the off-airport agreement, and that the county had properly revoked. And under those circumstances, the court declined to enter Jetaway's request for relief, which was to compel access, which would be inconsistent with saying that we had properly revoked access because of numerous violations of his orders, our directives, rules and regulations. And we would say, of course, Your Honors, the evidence was replete. They say that video logs were used. The county offered eyewitness testimony and video logs at the November 14, 2008 hearing. Jetaway did not challenge the use of the videotapes at the appeal in case number 2709. At trial in March 2011, the county used eyewitness testimony and on three instances had that eyewitness testimony supported by photographic evidence, which is in the record. They were caught red-handed, including the tampering with the security gate that was installed pursuant to TSA regulations. And they couldn't have done it, as they testified at trial, because the county presented evidence they had changed the lock on that gate. You had to take, it was a long strand of cable, and it would sag, and you could push it down and stand on it and get a plane across. So on that basis, Your Honor, and with respect to the appeal, pursuant to the brief, we have requested attorney's fees on appeal, just as were awarded down in the trial court. And that's pursuant to the prevailing party provision of the off-airport agreement, Rule 39.5.
Thank you very much, Mr. Magoon. Ms. Duke, because of our problems with the lighting system, we will give you three additional minutes if you need them for your rebuttal argument.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So I would ask the bailiff to set the clock accordingly so that Ms. Duke will now have 8 minutes instead of 5 minutes. Thank you.
Your Honor, I'm briefly just going to touch on the issue of maintenance because I think it's obvious where the issues arise, but I do want to point the Court of Appeals to its order saying that if Jetaway either provided or offered maintenance services, excuse me, if STW provided or offered maintenance services, then Jetaway could in fact provide those services. Jetaway has offered ample evidence that it both provided services, not only to an aircraft that it manufactured per Mr. Magoon's statements, but also to members of the Montrose community. I mean, that's what STW employees are, aren't they? They're members of the Montrose community. They would bring their airplanes in and they would be maintained by the two on-site mechanics. So just because this facility was open for a short amount of time does not mean that the off-airport agreement did not contemplate, in fact, that they would be offering maintenance. I mean, if you build aircrafts, if you have aircrafts on the facilities, they're gonna have to be maintained. I think that's an obvious point. So to suggest that the off-airport agreement did not contemplate that Jetaway or STW or its predecessors in interest would be maintaining aircraft would mean that you couldn't have aircraft in this hangar facility that is in fact the Jetaway Now facility. I want to move to the access permit issue because I heard a couple of things that I want to address. First of all, Mr. Magoon made the statement that Jetaway refused to comply with the access permit that it demanded. That is not true. First of all, the off-airport agreement provides that the county will issue an access permit to Jetaway for $250. That is an express provision in the off-airport agreement. The trial court recognized that in its 2008 order and, in fact, demanded that the county issue Jetaway an access permit. What the county ended up doing is saying, sorry, we're not going to give it to you for $250. We're going to charge you $25,000. And Jetaway sort of contemplated that. And then they sent a second letter saying, never mind, we changed our mind. It's going to be $75,000 a year that Jetaway is going to have to pay for an access permit. Well, of course, at that point, Jetaway had to file before the court a motion to compel such access permit because the county kept changing the rules of the game. That's really how this issue came about. The county then said, okay, we see that we've changed a lot of the rules relating to the access permit. Whether they admitted that or not, Mr. McGoon and I might disagree, but the transcript speaks for itself. But then they said, you know what, regardless, we've revoked their access permit. And that's the administrative hearing that Mr. McGoon was referring to. However, Jetaway has always taken the position and maintains today, it's unclear how the county could revoke an access permit that has never, in fact, been issued. So Jetaway was in the impossible position of either applying for the district court and asking them to compel an access permit. And frankly, if the county issued an access permit at that point, then maybe we would have some different arguments about whether or not they wanted to let us keep it or revoke it. But that never happened. They just unilaterally went in and revoked an access permit that was actually never issued. That's the public hearing that Mr. McGoon is referring to. Mr. McGoon and the county make a lot of issue about a breach of a security fence issue. The security fence was taken down. I want to point out to this court, and I think we made it clear in our briefing, and it's certainly clear on the record, that we had TSA experts ready to testify that, number one, this was not a security fence that the county put up. It was, in fact, basically some wire that had, you know, 2 feet in between it that the county put up in order to basically keep Jetaway out of its own aircraft hangar. It was not a security fence, first of all. Second of all, Jetaway tried to present evidence rebutting these allegations in the form of both TSA experts and people that were actually on site. Our TSA experts were shut down by the court and not allowed to testify, saying that it was irrelevant evidence. And number two, when we tried to put on evidence from the people that were there the day that the alleged security fence was breached, the court said, no, you have the right to remain silent and get your own lawyer, and gave our witness his Fifth Amendment constitutional rights. We then asked the court, please suspend testimony. This man is not represented by an attorney. He needs a chance to get his own attorney. The court then refused to allow us to suspend testimony so that we could get him a lawyer to figure out whether or not we could present that evidence. So at every turn, and all of these alleged security violations that we have tried to rebut over and over through TSA experts, through FAA experts, through factual witnesses, the court has shut us down.
Ms. Duke, if I could interrupt, my recollection is that one of the issues was whether Jetaway's vehicles had beacons and two-way radios, and did Jetaway present any evidence to show that their vehicles did?
Yes, Your Honor. It presented evidence both that it had its beacons and security light flashers. They're also required to have two-way radios. Jetaway brought in an NTSB expert that was prepared to testify about what Jetaway was required to have, you know, to have on what areas of the property. The court said, you know, no, we're not going to hear it, basically. But then, and these were the issues that we were trying to rebut related to the 2008 TRO, and I think that's really important because we're getting away from that. This whole argument that the county keeps making about the June 30th order really is not relevant. We're not arguing about anything before the June 30th order. The TRO happened in November of 2008. That's a solid 6 months after. The security log that they presented as evidence, which was the main thing, this is the overwhelming evidence that they have. It comes from a videotape log that they presented at the TRO trial. That's the overwhelming evidence that the court is referring to. Jetaway was never given the opportunity to see that videotape, pursuant to the best evidence rule, and then the court allowed county officials to testify extensively about what they saw in the videotape for the reasons that they installed the security fence, but then wouldn't let Jettaway offer any rebuttal evidence to that effect. And so we were in the impossible position of having the county accuse us of safety violation after safety violation, which they were alleging did occur after the June 30th order. I agree it has nothing to do with before June 30th.
Did the court specifically say you cannot rebut this evidence?
It specifically shut our experts down related to an AOP is a perfect example. So we had evidence that, and it's a very complicated issue, but we had evidence relating to airport layout plan is what that stands for, and how that sort of worked in connection with what they were alleging were safety violations. Because pursuant to the FAA regulations and the county's own training manuals, certain areas that aircraft and vehicles can operate in would not be considered the safety violations that they were alleging we committed. So, for example, if our vehicles were operating in a specific area, the county said, wait, that's a safety violation. But we had evidence that their own training manuals, that their own ALP, that their own master plan, and that the FAA would not have considered that a safety violation. That these were just trumped up safety allegations that the county put on us, frankly, because this has been a litigious situation, and we're down the road. I mean,
excuse me, your time is up, so you're feel free to finish that sentence or your thought, and then
finish my thought. I just want to say, Your Honor, the access permit issue and the maintenance issue are both property entitlement rights that have been taken away, and I think that that's the most important consideration that this court, because even if Jettaway doesn't have access or maintenance rights, successors in interest may in fact get those rights down the future, but from now, this is a major impact on our property value, which I think has been the county's plan. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you again, Mr. McGoon. We appreciate both of your arguments, and we appreciate your patience in light of, and we apologize for our timing system not functioning properly this morning. The case will stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.